But I'm just going to pray for David as he speaks for us. Father God, we want to lift your name high. We thank you that power and authority belongs to you. And I thank you for speaking to David this week by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that he can now speak to us with power and authority because he speaks to us from your word. So I pray that you bless him and bless us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan, and a very warm welcome to you all. I heard a great piece of advice that I want to pass on to you. It was an older Christian, and he was asked in an interview, what would he say to his younger self? And he said, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Isn't that great advice? The challenge is, it's sometimes easier said than done. I don't know if you've found that in your life. I sometimes do get worried about things and can feel overwhelmed by different challenges or things. And I find it really does me good if I just get out for a walk. Often I just go along the seafront. This is a photo I took just a few weeks ago when I did that, just one point during the day. I find just the scale, the kind of space of the seafront, there are the clouds, the kind of size of them, and isn't it been some beautiful days recently? And actually, I sometimes even go on an evening, and just the stars. It's kind of odd because in many ways, when you get out into space like that, it really is a reminder of how very, very, very small we are, and how very little we have control over any part of our life. So it kind of should make us more worried. But actually, it seems to do the complete opposite. In fact, in those times, I often find myself praying, sometimes even without using words, just as it were, looking up to God. I remember reading a great illustration that I found really helpful. It stuck with me once. I think it was in a John Piper book. And he talked about how we can sometimes end up looking in the mirror, and even our prayers can be really just focusing on ourselves and our problems. That there you go, don't you look lovely, all of you? You look in the mirror, that can be the kind of thing we do. We kind of think, oh my goodness, yeah, it's not a good day. Oh no, look at my diary, look at my problems, look at not just what's outside, but the problems inside, look at the problems at work. And what he said we need to do is tilt the mirror. Now I can't see myself, I'm looking up. And when we pray, hallowed be your name, we tilt the mirror. We start looking up. And yes, we might bring, as we've been hearing prayer is, the real us to the real God. But it's not just bringing the real problems that we face back to ourselves. There's a difference between worrying and praying. And the difference is, you tilt the mirror. You look up to God. And so this is one of the big things that we need in our nation. One of the biggest problems in our society is we become so preoccupied with ourselves. We have kind of endless tools to help us do that. But the odd thing is that the more as a society we gaze on ourselves, the less satisfied we really seem to become, the less happy and joyful and peaceful we need to redirect our gaze. Selwyn Hughes, a great Christian minister and pastor, said this. He said, in all the years I've worked as a minister and a Christian counselor, I've never met a happy, self-centered person. The self-centered are the unhappy and frustrated. They express themselves, but they don't like the self they express. There's a lot of truth in there. So we're going to be looking today, as we think about this next line in the Lord's Prayer. Last week we were thinking about our Father in heaven, and this week as we think about hallowed be your name, we're going to be thinking about how do we stop worrying. And I have two little kind of tips for us to stop worrying. And the first is this: honor God's name. Can you say that with me? Honor God's name. Now you might be thinking, and maybe you're here even just wondering, this is great, all the singing, but is this God really there? Why? And do they sing like they do? Or why should we honor God's name? Or maybe you think, well, it's great doing that on a Sunday morning, but, you know, why did I do that all the way as we go through the week? And here's the thing. If you want to get your life in order, if you want to have a peace rather than a kind of frazzledness and anxiety, you need to get life working the way life was meant to work. You see, God is our creator, our maker. The psalmist says, lift up your eyes to the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Maybe you like the downs where you can just get out and see the hills and lift up your eyes. You see, God made all this, and he made all this, and he made us. And we are to worship him and to put him as the creator in his rightful place, because we are the created. And we only get human flourishing when we put those things in the right order. As Peter Lewis in his great book on the Lord's Prayer says, he says this, we only find ourselves when we find the one true God. It is when we begin to look away from ourselves to God, to transfer our ultimate loyalty from us to him and to say, hallowed be your name, that our own healing and true self-fulfillment begin. We're a bit like those scientists back in the day when they thought, you know, the kind of sun revolved around the earth. And, you know, it kind of made sense of some things, but there was a lot that still didn't add up and make sense and was kind of puzzling. Because actually that wasn't how it worked. It's not that the sun revolves around the earth like we're in the center of the solar system. No, the earth revolves around the sun. The sun is massive. And we find our rightful place as we realize we are, as it were, in orbit. We are to find the order of realizing it is all about God. He is at the center. He is awesome. He is, as we've been hearing through this service, holy. That's what hallowed means, kind of holy. Honored is your name. To be honored, to be holy is to kind of be set apart, revered, in awe of it. In fact, in the Old Testament, when they used to talk about the kind of covenant name of God that God gave to Moses, they didn't even used to write it down in full. They felt it was that holy. They didn't kind of speak of it. So sometimes people are not even quite sure how it's to be pronounced. The Lord. It's sometimes written as in capital letters in our Bibles. It's kind of the Yahweh or Jehovah, or, you know, the one who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant God, the one who the Old Testament writes as holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is our Father in heaven. You know, names in the Bible are more than just names. We're not talking here about a kind of special magic kind of code of using, you know, a particular form of names. No, names have to do with the essence of someone. The name of God establishes a relationship for us with him. We're able to relate to God because he has made himself known. He has called himself and given himself a name. But as he does that, as he, as it were, condescends to come to our level, we can put him in our language. We can speak of him. But we then can also, we can kind of misuse his name, as many do. We can ignore his name, as many do. We can sully it. We can dishonor it. Or we can do what Jesus teaches us to do in this prayer, and that is to honor it. To honor it because it is worthy of honoring. To honor it not just when we come to a place like this, but to honor it all the way through our lives. How do we honor God's name? Well, I want to just briefly get you to think about, just start in your heart. It starts in your heart. The Bible says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Revere him as Lord. It's great to be singing, but what's going on in your heart? Is God, as it were, the Lord, the one who's at the center, and all that goes on in your life, as it were, revolves around him. Maybe it's not. You know, there was that moment when the scientists, like Copernicus, said, no, we got it wrong. Our thinking was wrong. This is how it works. This is how it is going to work. This is how it really works. Maybe today is your moment to say, yeah, in my heart, I'm going to set apart Christ as Lord. But out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks, and the Bible's full of encouragements for us to honor God with our mouth. In fact, one of the things it says is make sure you don't dishonor God with your mouth. So in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, it says this, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And anyone who does that will not be guiltless. Anyone who misuses his name. But the Bible is full too of encouragements for us to speak his name with praise and honor and worship. Psalm 113 verse 1 and 2, we could use any number of psalms. Do you want to read this with me? Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both and forevermore. Amen. We're to praise him with our mouths. And in fact, it is not just about our mouths. Our whole lives are to be honoring the name of God. As we pray, it orientates our hearts. It puts things in our mouths so that that becomes a way we live, that by our living, we honor God's name. We honor him in a place like this, but we honor him too in our workplaces, that our workplaces become places of worship. That we honor him, whatever we're doing in our eating and sort of sleeping, in our things we think about, in our online life, in our private life, in our public life. We honor him and his name. In fact, Miroslav Vlof, who I saw quoted in one book, and I thought this was a great quote, but I have no idea who Miroslav Vlof is, I'm sorry to say. But this is what he says. There is no space in which worship should not take place, no time when it should not occur, no activity in which it should not happen. We are to honor God in our lives, and that is about obeying him. If God is a God who says this is what he wants us to do, and we don't do it, we might pray, hallowed be your name, but we're not living it. Let's be those who think in our living, in our praying, in our singing, in our working, in our serving, in our relating, in our maybe particularly as we come to this week of our World Missions Gift Day, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, thinking about how can our giving and our use of our finances honor God. Because you see, as we give, we help God's name be honored, not just in our lives, but then through our giving, what happens and what we're giving to is places where, you know, whether it's poverty, which often comes because people are not honoring God. There's injustice abounding, or those places where there's no church, where we long as a church that God's name would be known and honored. And that is why we give. That is why we're praying. That is why as we come into this world, I get so excited because I look at some of these kind of flags, or I hear these stories of people, and some of which we can mention more publicly, some of we can't, but we long as a church for the name of God to be honored in places where it's maybe even not known or not honored. You know, I think of friends who are working in North Africa. I haven't got a picture of them, but this is a picture of North Africa, place where many, many, many places in that thing, there is no honoring of the name of Jesus like we've been doing freely today. And yet they're looking to see how can his name be honored and spread. I think of what we were hearing a few weeks ago when Jamie and Michaela were here, and this is a bit of an old picture, but I love it because it's got that Eiffel Tower in the back. The people who were in a very secular Europe, which is now in so many parts become a place where God's name is not honored, not even really known or understood. They're bringing the good news of of Jesus. Oh, what Dan and Becky have just been describing in the Rhondda Valley, and so much need in our own nation, and particularly some of those areas where people feel forgotten. But God's not forgotten them. And we have the joy and privilege through our praying and our giving to honor God as we do those things, and to see through them his name honored and lifted high with people coming to know him. I love the opening lines of Let the Nations Be Glad, a great book by John Piper, and it says this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not mission, because God is ultimate, not man. Amen? Because actually, guys, it's not all about, you know, whether people know us, remember us. You know, we must become less. He must become greater. It's all about Jesus. In fact, I love Philippians chapter 2, where it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name, that's Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's why, you know, as Tim suggested when we were, you know, praying, we can stand, we can sit, but kneeling is a helpful posture at times, maybe even particularly on your own. If you're able to kneel, maybe if you're not on your own, just raise your hands and surrender. Say, God, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Let's tilt the mirror. Let's be those who, rather than just worrying and talking to ourselves and looking at ourselves, we look up to God. And here's the amazing thing. This holy name of God is a name that not just are we to honor, but lastly and briefly, we're to use. This name that almost was so holy that people dare not even mention it or write it down, yet actually this name comes so close into our world. It's called Emmanuel. In fact, God comes to make himself known in the person of Jesus, the one whose name literally means God saves, and that is the name that is so powerful. I wonder if you thought, what is the most powerful force in the universe? Maybe one of those kind of, you know, big nuclear fission that sort of fuels some of the stars that are around in our kind of world, or those kind of galaxy clusters. But actually, the name of Jesus is more powerful than anything else. It can do what no nuclear power or any other power can do. In fact, in Acts, there was just this kind of unstoppable kind of work that was happening. And this is what Peter said to those that were trying to arrest it and stop it. He said this: salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. In fact, in the Old Testament, and then repeated again on the day of Pentecost, Peter called out, he said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you need rescue, there is no one who can rescue you like the Lord Jesus. He is the one who has power and authority. That's why his name is so hallowed. He has power and authority. He has authority to forgive you. I can't do that. But in Jesus' name, I can declare you are forgiven. Because Jesus has the authority to forgive. In fact, Peter on that day of Pentecost, he said this. He said to them in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you. If you've not done that, repenting is that change of thinking. Make sure your life orbits around God. And be baptized, that's a symbol of the kind of renewal that's happening in you. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's authority to forgive in Jesus' name. There's authority to heal. It says in Acts 3, 6, that they saw a crippled man, and Peter said to him, silver or gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the, say it with me, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. There's authority to heal. There's authority to protect. I love this verse. We sometimes sing it. Proverbs verse 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong or fortified tower. The righteous run to it and they're saved. What about this? He has authority to give life, eternal life. We've had some bereavements. But read this with me. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Margaret knew it because she believed in the name. Roger knew it because he believed in the name. Rosie knew it because she believed in the name. Neil knew it because he believed in the name of the Son of God, and they have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, if you want to know assurance of eternal life, believe in the name. And as we come to pray, and we're going to be praying in that week of 24/7 prayer starting next Sunday, but you don't have to wait till then to get praying. We pray in the name of Jesus because there is power and authority. Look at John 14:14. There's so many times where this gets mentioned, but he says this, Jesus' words, you may ask me for anything, say it with me, and I will do it. Wow. So what are you asking? What are you praying in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus? Let's come and let's boldly approach. You know, I was signing up on that 24/7 prayer thing, and you can do that this week before all the different slots get filled. I'd encourage you to do that. I want to say, if you've got some capacity in your week, will you take a good few slots? And if you think, oh, my week's crazy, can I say, I think it would do you good to take an hour, 1 hour in that week to pray. So please, let's come and ask in his name. And you know, this name is so powerful that the enemy is trying to stop you from using it. In Acts, when this amazing message of Jesus was spreading, we read this. The authorities got the disciples in and they said, to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. And then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You know, maybe you're here and you've never discovered that actually praying or speaking in the name of Jesus has amazing power. So much power that actually at times through church history, people have tried to stop the name of Jesus being mentioned, even in places around our world today. But maybe you've known that power, but you've kind of forgotten it. Maybe you've just stopped talking about Jesus to those around you. Maybe the enemy's subtly been working, thinking, oh, that's not an appropriate place to say it. Well, that's not an appropriate place to say it. Oh, that's not an appropriate place to say it. I mean, Jesus is the one with all authority in heaven and earth. Is there anywhere where it's not appropriate to declare his name, to honor his name? There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. So let's believe it. Let's pray it. Let's speak of it. Let's go with it and in his name. And I want to come back as I end, and just as we come to this communion table, to say, as I was thinking about that word at the start about don't worry, you know what I realized? If I told you don't worry, you might easily come back to me and go, but you don't know my week or my life or my situation. In fact, even when I tell myself don't worry, it doesn't really work, because I just tell myself back, well, that's all very well and good, David, but boop, boop, boop. But when I look up to a holy God, I find kind of two strange things. I find suddenly that that is what I most need to worry about. He's holy and I am not. How on earth can I pray? I mean, that's my biggest problem right there. The God who knows everything and is holy, holy, holy. And yet, as I look up to him, I see that he's a God who's revealed himself to me and to you in the person of Jesus, the one whose name means God saves. I see in Jesus one who loved me enough to die on the cross for me so that I could be eternally secure. I see in Jesus one who's made a way for me to approach the holy God. Like Hebrews 10 says, you know, I think we got it on the screen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how on earth can we do that? You and I, those who are not holy, by the blood of Jesus. He has made a way so that as I look to him, as I honor him, as I say, hallowed be your name, I then go, of course I don't need to worry. He's got it. It's all about him. Almost I don't even need to hear him say it. I can just see him. The risen Lord who died for me. And I know I don't need to worry. I know rather I need to come in awe and wonder and worship. So I stop worrying and I start worshiping. Why don't we do that even just now in our hearts? The band's going to come up and we've got this two little lines of the Lord's Prayer on the screen, and I wonder if we could just pray it slowly in our hearts, just pausing again as we've been doing in between the lines, and allow that heart change to happen as we pray. Let's pray together the first line and then pause. Our Father in heaven. And then with a decision to mean it in your heart, to want to honor him in your heart, with your mouth, and with your life. We pray together the next line. Hallowed be your name.